Dear brothers and sisters, last time I preached the messages about the last seven words of the Lord on the cross. Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, man. And until he died at the age of 33, he lived his life only for souls. When he was young, he knew who he was. He knew beforehand that he would be crucified on the cross. He was ready to take the sacrifice because he was love itself. But it does not mean the pain and suffering could be decreased. But our Lord took the cross with thanks because he was thankful for the fact that the providence of Father God will be accomplished and the salvation for souls will be opened. After Jesus, the Holy Spirit take the full control. After our Lord become the first fruit of the resurrection, whoever received the salvation by the name of Jesus, the hope of resurrection was given to his children. The Holy Spirit came to their hearts, awakened the seed of life, and revived the dead life. The Holy Spirit came down to the attic of Mark. At this moment, when it is close to the day of Lord's coming, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words to lead us to heaven. As you can see, the human cultivation is being done by the work of Father God and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Our Father God has taken so many sacrifices just to help us to get eternal life, even though we lost the grace, even though we went to the way of eternal death. How can we compare our effort to change ourselves to the effort that Father God wants to change us? As we understand this grace and reach eternal life, Father God said, it's good. Father God would shed tears of joy when people console his heart. Since we know this, we will not stop receiving salvation and go to paradise. We will surely go to New Jerusalem. So from today, I'd like to preach about how to make good way of eternal life that is open to us with the sacrifice of Jesus. For that, I'll tell you about sin, which is the first thing to be alert and to cast off until you reach eternal life. Since I'm going to talk about sin, you may be afraid or you may be scared, especially when you're committing sin or when you haven't cast off worldly things. However, you have faith to go to heaven. You have desperate to receive God's help. So please listen to this message carefully. And if you make an effort, by the help of Father God, in the space of the shepherd, you will eventually cast off sin and change. First of all, let me begin this message. What happened after our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross? Please refer to senior pastor's sermons, The Message of the Cross and The Measure of Faith, for more information. Our dear brothers and sisters should feel how valuable the eternal life that you got by the price of Jesus Christ. And please understand and feel the Holy Spirit's cry, who doesn't want any of you to leave from this way of salvation. As you win the victory and meet God, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit in New Jerusalem and make confession of thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ took great suffering to redeem us from our sin. After he died on the cross, something amazing things happened. Matthew 27 verses 51 to 54 says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" One of those incidents was that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The centurion and the guardians were not surprised at the resurrection of the saints. They were surprised about the earthquakes and the things that were happening. They were afraid, and they confessed that Jesus was the truly Son of God. Well, the Holy Temple in Israel in the days of Old Testament is quite different from today's. The Holy Temple is divided into the Holy Place and Holy of the Holies. Nowadays, children of God who accepted the Lord can come into inside the temple. You are inside the temple. However, in the Old Testament days, no one can enter, not anyone can enter the temple. People could worship at the yard of the temple. Only there were people who could only enter the temple. And they took all the jobs inside the temple. No one could dare look inside the Holy Temple. Only one day was allowed, the Day of Atonement. It had been kept from the days of the Days of Tentacle. Why? Because sinners could not communicate with God. The Holy Temple in the Old Testament days could be compared to the construction of the body of this church building. But the upper altar could be compared to the Holy of the Holies. And the upper altar and the church building was divided by the veils. But this veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, was the veil torn because it was so thin? No. It was the work of God, and it had a spiritual meaning. Jesus was the sacrifice of the redemption. And because of that, the wall between Father God and His children collapsed. So thanks to the price of Jesus, we could communicate with Father God. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 said, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh." Here, the flesh means, you know, our body itself, okay? Since Jesus shed His blood and redeemed us from our sin, those of you and me, those of you and I who believe in the Lord could enter the temple and worship God and pray to Father God directly and communicate with Him. However, some people say they believe in God, but they commit sin. But, you know, they don't go to God to pray, but they go to someone, some people. They call it confession. There are, you know, clergies who, you know, listen to confession and pray to God on behalf of them. Although the veil of the temple was torn, and then we could enter the temple, and we could pray in the name of the Lord, and be forgiven of our sin, there are people who still confess their sin to the clergy. And they believe that that was the only way to be forgiven. And it is wrong, isn't it? Of course, there are cases. You know, it's not easy to repent by himself. To help him receive the grace of repentance, the one with faith and love can pray together. It is called interceding or mediator. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much." And Father God could give them a chance for salvation because of the prayer of the righteous man. However, basically, you have to remember that prayer, you have to pray to Father God in the name of the Lord directly. Now, not only a veil was, you know, torn, there was earthquakes. Matthew 27:51 says, "The earth shook and the rocks were split." It happened because Father God severely and extremely lament, even the unliving rock split. Luke 23:44 and 45 said, "It was now about the sixth hour, and a darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn into two." So for 3 hours, the sun was obscured. Can you imagine how much Father God was hurt in his heart when he lost his only begotten son? Especially, Jesus died because of the sin of people, but people didn't understand. They still lived in sin. So Father God could not but lament in his heart. That's why such things took place. In verse 52 and 53 says, the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Fallen asleep, well, the Bible says those who are saved are fall asleep. Why is that? Even though they died and buried, when the Lord comes back, they will resurrect. That's why the Bible says they fell asleep. You know, those who died before the crucifixion of the Lord will receive salvation through because of their, you know, good conscience. So they are asleep too. So those, you know, saints who had fallen asleep means they are those, you know, who died before Jesus died on the cross, and they participated in the resurrection of the Lord. Those who accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, even though they die on their life and ends on this earth, when the Lord comes back, they will resurrect. Their naked body will turn into holy body. It is physical resurrection. Now, what about those who are alive and welcome the Lord? Since we don't see death, we don't need physical resurrection. Instead, we will be caught up into the air alive, and we will turn into holy body. It is called the rapture. You can see the picture behind me. That's the rapture. The physical resurrection can take place to those only who had fallen asleep in the Lord. However, there is another kind of resurrection. That is, as you accept Jesus Christ, then Holy Spirit will come, and your dead spirit will revive. That is spiritual resurrection. And you have right to go to heaven now. There is an important fact. It is true that you accept the Lord, you receive salvation. However, even though you accepted the Lord and received salvation, if you are away and far from the way of salvation, then you cannot receive salvation. Because salvation is not the completion of salvation. It is just the beginning of salvation. So, don't feel safe. Until the Lord comes back, you should keep the track of salvation and you have to keep your faith. If you stop in the middle, you cannot receive eternal life. In order not to leave from the way of salvation, you have to keep yourself and you have to make more effort to go to better heaven. That is Christian life. Now, what kind of process are necessary until we go to eternal life? First of all, we are created by the image of Father God. Since we committed sin, we lost that image. So we were destined to go to hell. We have to admit that. And then we have to repent. And then we have to believe that sinless Jesus Christ died for us on behalf of us and redeemed us from our sin. And thanks to his blood, we can go to heaven. And then we have to accept him as our Savior. Then the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, revives our dead, and awakens our seed of life. That's spiritual resurrection. And it is also called receiving salvation. There is another very important procedure. That is to keep yourself, not to get away from this way of salvation. You have to keep the Sabbath day holy, give full tithe, and never commit sin. Then would that be it? Well, no. Well, you may get eternal life, but you cannot reach the glorious position in heaven. You have to recover the lost image of Father God. You have to recover the heart, which had no truth, no evil, but only truth. Genesis 1:26 said, "Let us make him in our image according to our likeness," said God. As you can see, Father God created us in his image, but not only the appearance. Father God put his heart into our heart, and he has taught us goodness, love, and truth for long years. However, people commit sin and became the slave to the devil. And they lost the image, and they were spoiled by sin and evil. However, those who received the salvation thanks to the price of Jesus Christ, they should not let go of the sign of salvation, but they have to recover the lost image of God. Since we have to become the children of Father God, we have to resemble our Father God. But there are things that you have to be very careful of. That is, sin. The enemy devil and Satan hates us to be saved and go to heaven. They want to go to hell because they know that at the end of this world, they will be confined in the beast. So, they do all things to force the children of God to commit sin and not to go to heaven. Taking advantage of the sin, the enemy devil and Satan, you know, hold of the children of God and force them to go to hell. So we gotta be awake all the time. Distinguish truth from the untruth. And do the things that can please Father God. Now, what do we need to receive salvation? Let me ask you this. What's the sign of salvation? What's the evidence of salvation? Well, faith is the evidence. Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Since we believe, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Since we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. Since we believe, we go to church. Since we believe, we pray and manage our Christian life. By this faith, we receive salvation. Therefore, without faith, people cannot receive salvation. Sin can be forgiven and cleansed only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe in that blood, your sins cannot be forgiven. So even those people who live their lives in goodness, if they don't accept Jesus Christ, even after releasing the gospel, they have nothing to do with God and heaven. Those who don't know about the Lord, who are good in conscience, may receive salvation through judgment of conscience. However, when they go to upper grave, they go through the process of accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, those with faith can receive salvation? Can they? Yes, they can. Well, if you have faith, you can receive salvation. However, the Bible says, even though there are people that they say they believe, they cannot receive salvation. Our Lord said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Calling Jesus Lord, Lord means that they know Jesus is the Savior. But even among those who confess that Jesus is the Savior, there are people who cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Then why is that? They say they believe in Father God, they believe in the Lord, but actually they don't believe it. In other words, their faith is fake and lie. Then how can we distinguish the true faith from the false faith? By the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith is to live by the word of God. The 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Father God is in the light. And he tells us to be in the light. Then we have to obey it. And we have to live in the light. Then we can say we truly believe in God. However, even though we say, I have fellowship with God, I believe in God, but you take the world and live in darkness, and if you don't live by the word of God, then you are lying. God said so. You say you believe in God, but you go the opposite way of the direction of God, then whatever you say is lie. You say you love your parents, but you hurt your parents' heart. Then you don't love your parents. Just as I read, there are people who called Lord, 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 but they didn't receive salvation. They lived in darkness. Well, they may make a, you know, excuse, make an excuse, as said in 7:22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? But the Lord said like this, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Said in Matthew 7:23. Our Lord searches the heart of people, so they know they practice all lawlessness. And it's nonsense that those who practice lawlessness can cast out demons and, you know, perform miracles. So they were lying. Even though they say they believe in the Lord, and even if they did something in the name of the Lord, if they practice lawlessness, the Lord says, you got nothing to do with me. So depart from me, said the Lord. Which means they cannot receive salvation. So, even though they say they believe, since they got no evidence of their faith, they cannot receive salvation. What the Lord said in Matthew 7:21-23, tells us that we gotta have true faith to receive salvation. Some say, someone who practices lawlessness can manifest power. A sinner can manifest the power. Is it true? No way. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. God does not listen to prayers of sinners. Of course, if it is the true prayers of repentance, then he might hear. However, those who keep practice in lawlessness, but pray without casting of sin, then Father God will not listen to them. Because Father God hates evil so much. He says, you smell foul when you pray with evil in your heart. How could God use such people of evil people and let them manifest power? Evil people are the slave to the enemy, devil, and Satan. When they manifest the power, they cannot glorify God. They cannot save souls. They will use that power for their own benefit. How could God do that? Will Father God not know that they are not evil and use them? If there are people who say like that, they don't know Father God is good. They don't know God. If they know Father God is good, but if they continue to say so, then they are evil, and Father God will not be pleased with them. Especially, power belongs to God. Not everyone can receive it. The gift of healing can be given to those who are not sanctified yet, since they pray by love. However, well, you may refer to senior pastors in the book, The Power, okay? So, when the gift of healing can be withdrawn, if the one who shows the gift of healing got arrogant and commits sin. But the power is different. But incurable diseases cannot be cured with the power, with the gift of healing. To receive this power, you have to cast off every form of untruth and evil, and even the sinful natures from your heart. And you have to pile up countless fastings and prayers, even if you enter the Holy Spirit. And once the power is given, it cannot be withdrawn. So, when someone is manifesting the power of God and manifests signs and wonders, and if someone casts out the contagious diseases all over the country,
If it rains by the prayer of the one who receives the power, if he receives the, it receives prayer on the handkerchief, and the brain bleeding is gone, and such amazing works are taking place continually, it means he is greatly loved and acknowledged by the Father God and completely supported by the Father God. When Father God acknowledges it, that is the truth and that is goodness. Brothers and sisters, I told you that those who say they believe but live in darkness have nothing to do with God, and they got no evidence of faith, and they cannot receive salvation. And Jesus called them chaff. Matthew 13 verses 40 to 42, the Lord said, "So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The furnace of fire means the fire of hell. Farmers gather in the good wheat from the chaff. Likewise, the Lord will come and distinguish the people with good faith from the people of false faith at the end of this time. The Lord will put those who practice lawlessness and cause others to fall, even though they say they believe, in the fire of furnace, the fire of hell. Even if they attend church on Sunday, give tithe, thanks offerings, and do many other church works, those who practice lawlessness will have to gnash their teeth in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, I told you that you say you believe, but if you commit sin, you cannot receive salvation. Then you gotta know what sin is in order not to commit sin. So what is sin? The answer can be found in 1 John 3:4, which says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Then what is lawlessness? If you violate the law of this country, then it is called lawlessness. It is the same. If you violate the Bible, the law of God, it is lawlessness. Do's and don'ts and keeps and cast-offs, all those are the laws in the Bible. Those who do the things the Bible tells us not to do, do not cast off things that the Bible tells us to cast off, and do not keep the things the Bible tells us to keep, are all who commit sins. So there are many kinds of lawlessness. So it's not difficult to distinguish what is lawlessness. Everything that is against the law of God is lawlessness. Let me give you some examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 to 10 lists this. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." It says they will not go to heaven but go to hell. Covetous means a strong desire to possess something, especially something that belongs to someone else. Reviling is in speaking intensely foul language out of hatred. And swindling means in deceiving people to get something valuable from them, especially in the money. So if you violate this, if they violate the law of God, then that's lawlessness, right? If it is truly goodness, then, but if you don't do it, then it is lawlessness too. The things that are not, that Father God is not pleased, is all sin. So you are so, my members are so blessed because you are given the gift of love, right? There are many do's and don'ts and keeps and don't cast-offs, right? And that they're all listed in that book. We gotta know the law of God to keep the law. Then we'll receive blessing. So, you have to learn the law of God since we are given the book from our shepherd, the gift of love. Well, you might have a question like this. There are more than like, you know, 400 verses, 1400 verses in the Bible. Is there anyone who is not against that law? Where can we find the one who doesn't lie, who does not get angry? How can we receive salvation then? Well, it's not easy to find someone who has never disobeyed the law of God in the Bible. But that does not mean that all those, you know, who committed sin can go to hell, will go to hell. Then how can they receive salvation? Well, there are all different kinds of sin. The gravity of sin, different. Not all sins are same. There are grave sin and light sin. Well, when you can find the most wanted paper, right? And you can find the face of the people, the face of the convicts or, you know, those who were wanted. I, you know, took a look at it, and when their sin was grave, you know, their face was listed on the top of the page. And I thought about Father God. Now, there are many different kinds of sins. So depending on the gravity of the sin, you know, you gotta listen to this message. Let's take an example of lie. Like, after you commit this sin and you can receive, so you can repent and receive salvation. And there are lies that are really hard to receive salvation, even though you repent. Let's say someone took your portion at the dining table and there is only a little left. Then you may say, there is nothing left. You ate them all. Is it true? Is it a lie? Surely there is a little portion left. There is little left. But you said, it's all gone. It is a lie. Now, where can you find someone who cannot receive salvation because of this lie? Well, if you don't fix this, you know, habit of lying, then you are not holy, so you cannot go to better heaven. But it does not mean that you cannot receive salvation. Whenever you find it, you have to repent and you gotta fix it, right? But even though there are lies for, you know, deceiving others for your benefit or giving troubles to their, to other family. It is so severe, right? So there are lies that don't have any, you know, really, you know, evil intention. But, you know, you don't understand it because you do it habitually. And there are lies that have truly severe evil intention behind them. So if it is like a trivial sin, then you can repent and receive salvation. But for grave sin, it's not even easy to repent of. The spirit of repentance is not given. You gotta know this. I'm not saying that it is a light sin and you can commit it. So don't misunderstand. I'm not saying, you know, the robbing or murdering are the only sins. That's not what I'm saying. Of course, you know, pickpocketing is also sin, even though it is a, you know, comparably, you know, little, you know, light sin. Even though it is a misdemeanor, it can be, you know, it can turn into a habitual offender, right? You know, those who commit sin habitually cannot fix this habit easily later on. It is the same in spiritually. So don't say, since it is, you know, nothing, it is trivial, it's okay. Don't say like that. You have to be always on the alert and get rid of it. Get rid of the evil. Moreover, You have to know about sin, and you have especially about grave sin that cannot receive salvation, and you should never commit that sin. And about that kind of grave sin, I'll tell you later in this message. Brothers and sisters, depending on the measure of faith, the gravity of sin can be different. Even though it is the same sin, when it was committed by the novice Christian, and when it was committed by the such as an elder in a church, it is different. Let's say your child could break the flower vase. If your child is a toddler, then you will not put blame on your child. You would rather worry about whether your child was hurt or not. However, if the child graduated from school, and if the child grew up well, but broke the vase, then you would say, why were you not careful? Why did you break the vase? You would rebuke him, right? Even though it is the same sin, depending on the age of your child, your direction can be different. So, you can be compared to a measure of faith. Even though someone committed the same deed of flesh, when it was committed by the member who in the first level of faith, and the member in the rock of faith, there is great difference. And Father God will be so much disappointed. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Those who learn the word of God and know about them well and commit sin, it is even graver than those who commit the same sin when their measure of faith is very low. So therefore, as your faith grows up, you have to fill up justice according to your measure of faith. The most important thing is that if you keep making an effort greatly to cast off sin, then you can receive mercy of God. Even though you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot cast off sin all at once. Since you are not perfect yet, you may commit the things of the flesh and deeds of the flesh. However, if you pray and change the change, the effort itself can be accepted as faith. Father God will not say he is unrighteous. However, if they don't make an effort to cast off sin, but keep on sinning, then Father God will not say in a day we have got faith. So, even if you are not perfect yet, don't be disappointed. But, hold on to this message and pray until you change, until Father God is pleased with you. You have to, please, make an effort until you change. So make sure that if you truly believe, after you commit, you gotta turn back right away and repent and change. Brothers and sisters, so far I told you that disobeying the word of God is lawlessness and it can become sin. And if you commit sin, no matter you say you believe, then you got no evidence of your faith and you can receive salvation. I said there is different grave gravity among sins. According to the measure of faith, the gravity of sin can be different. So you should learn the word of God diligently and you should never be arrogant. Most of all, you should not be disappointed but pray, then you can receive salvation. Furthermore, if you ride on the flow of Holy Spirit in this church, then you are far short. You can not only receive salvation, but you can also achieve the heart of goodness. In order to recover the image of Father God, the first thing that we have to know about is sin. Especially, if we commit sin, which can lead to death, all the rewards that we piled up will become nothing. So we gotta know about sin clearly and we set an alert. And our shepherd knew about it very well. So, in his message, he explained all kinds of sins, trivial or big. So, let's take a look at the types of sin. The enemy, devil, and Satan know what kind of sinful attributes you got in your heart. And they do all things to provoke that sinful attributes. The Satan provokes the sinful nature in your heart, in your thought. It is called the works of the flesh. It doesn't come out, but you have, you know, hatred or, you know, dislikes, even though people cannot, you know, feel it. If people don't recognize it. Although these are, you know, quite, you know, light sins, but don't regard it okay, but you got to cast them off. If you keep on commit these works of the flesh, you will eventually come out as an action. Then the baton is gone to the devil. Because the devil provokes you to put that thought into action. It is called the deeds of the flesh. Someone had the hatred, you know, I don't like him. But when it comes out and as an action, he hits him or calls him bad names, right? And among these deeds of the flesh, there are sins that cannot receive salvation. In the Old Testament, kill them. And in the New Testament, they will not enter heaven. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. These kind of sins are the sins that cannot receive salvation. Our shepherd listed, you know, 14 examples in his message. If you don't know about that sin, but committed such a sin, then you got to repent completely and turn back. Then Father God will forgive you, and He will not remember your past sins. Even if you are a new beginner, but if you keep on committing sin, then you cannot receive salvation. But, you know, if you completely repent and turn back, then you can have a chance of salvation. The problem is, people who do not know about this sin, but commit sin continually, because it becomes the sin leading to death. 1 John 5:16 says, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. Father God wants every soul can receive salvation. That's the heart of Father God. But it tells us not to make a request for those who commit such sin leading to death. Why is that? For all sins, regarding all sins, only when we are given the spirit of repentance, we can repent and be forgiven of the sin. But those who commit sin leading to death, they cannot receive the repentance of the spirit of repentance, so they can repent. It means they themselves asking for forgiveness or others interceding for them will be useless. How are sins leading to death differentiated from sins depriving of salvation? Simply put, sins leading to death are intended for God's children who have received the Holy Spirit to commit sins, depriving of salvation while knowing the truth. In other words, when a new believer or a novice that commits sins depriving of salvation, if he repents from the heart and tries to cast off sinful nature itself, then God will open the way of salvation again. But pastors or those who have been a Christian for long years don't circumcise their hearts, but commit sin out of their, you know, lust, then you will become the sin leading to death and they cannot receive salvation, which we should never commit. Those who committed sin leading to death cannot repent well. You know, we have to tear down our heart and repent. And we have to, you know, shed tears and with runny nose, but it doesn't work like that. You may shed tears out of your, you know, regret, but it cannot become repentance. But you should never forget. Our shepherd said, you gotta look for the mercy of Father God and hang on to Father God till the end. When you are drowning,
Can you, would you give up your life? You will try everything to catch even a straw to save your life. As you can see, even though you committed sin leading to death, you gotta look for the mercy of Father God, and you gotta hang on to Father God till the end. And people around you give the prayers of love, and when you depend on the space of the shepherd, and hang on to it. Now, what are the sins that lead to death? The first sin leading to death is speaking and acting against the Holy Spirit. The second is to crucify the Son of God all over again to put him to open shame. Lastly, a sin leading to death is when you deliberately commit sins after receiving the knowledge of truth. First, speaking and acting against the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:31, our Lord said, "Therefore, I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven." And Luke 12:10 says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him." There is no forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. People see the work of God, but they insult it and speak against the Holy Spirit, and how can they receive salvation? They cannot receive the spirit of repentance, so they cannot repent. So, the wall of sin cannot be destroyed, so they cannot expect salvation. Those worldly people who don't receive the Holy Spirit, novice Christians, may, you know, speak against the Holy Spirit. Those without faith, those who do not know truth well, may be deceived and commit such a sin. In this case, it's not, they are not speaking against God, speaking against the Holy Spirit after knowing God. They just spoke against the Son of Man. So, since if they repent completely, then they can receive salvation. But, after knowing the truth, but speak against the Holy Spirit out of their evil, then they cannot receive salvation. So let me tell you what is speaking and acting against the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is, after seeing the works of the Holy Spirit taking place, to deny God's works with one's own evil and disturb the works so that God's work cannot be accomplished. Let me tell you again. It is to deny God's works with one's own evil and disturb the works so that God's work cannot be accomplished after seeing the works of the Holy Spirit taking place. For example, it is the case of a person who spreads false rumors and talks badly about a church where the works of the Holy Spirit are taking place that is erratic and wrong. This is not to blaspheme a man who is a creature, but it is standing against God the Creator and hindering His works from being accomplished. So it is such a fearful sin. There are people who committed a wicked plan to speak and blaspheme against the works of the Holy Spirit. We know that experience, which was the case of 1998 and 1999 broadcasting incident. Evil people had a wicked plan, and they used all kinds of methods to deceive our members. They sent letters and deceived the members. We now have all kinds of digital media, and we can, you know, copy, you know, some rumors to hold people, right? But 20 years ago, there was not something like that. You know, they, you know, took a picture of those, you know, who testified to their healing with the candid camera. And they edited, you know, what they said, and they used those film footage for their advantage. But those with faith and those who could distinguish didn't shaken, and the truth were revealed. And we win the victory, and we received the blessing, and we became the church with more than 11,000 branch churches around the world. With so many workers and members shed tears, let's give glory to Father God. However, due to this incident, so many workers and our members shed tears and they fasted. And our shepherd had to shed countless tears as well. Speaking against the Holy Spirit is the insulting the Holy Spirit. There are some people who call the works of the Holy Spirit as the works of Satan. Even though people are healed by the power of God, they say it is the work of devil, work of Satan. They insult God by comparing the Holy Spirit with such a filthy demon and Satan and devil. Where can you find in the Bible that God loved evildoers and sinners and gave them power? In Job, you know, Job said, you know, God loved evil people, but it was misunderstanding of Job. Now, even though it is not the work of the Holy Spirit, people say it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is also the speaking against the Holy Spirit. Saying that the word of God is untruth, giving false rumors, yeah, this is all speaking against the Holy Spirit. You have heard that the power belongs to God, as written in Psalm 62, verse 11. Evil spirits don't have power to heal people. Even if they had such power, they would not have glorified Father God. The deaf come to hear and the blind came to see. And the works and miracles are taking place. But the devil will not glorify Father God, right? The enemy, devil, and Satan will never do that. Some people don't acknowledge the power of God itself. Even though it was incurable diseases, the doctor said no. And the disease was healed by the power of God. And they say, since they breathed good air and ate good food, they got healed. It's not the power of God. They make these rumors like that. That they deny the power of God and they don't even try to believe it. Some say, well, it may be the power of God. Well, it may be possible, but such amazing things can also take place in other places of the world. They pretend, you know, as if they acknowledge it, but you know, they deny the work of God. When I was a novice Christian, I went to branch church, right? I came to Mamin church and experienced the power of God, and I was so touched by it. And I went to school since I was a student. And it was a Korean class. And there was a question in the textbook. It was called a placebo effect. Let's say there was an experiment. There were sick people and gave them a medicine. But it was not medicine. It was just the it was made of just the flour. But the doctors in the lied. It's a good medicine. If you take it, then those who took this medicine were all healed. Even though it was not an actual medicine. But people who ate medicine, who believed that it was a medicine, was actually healed. That was on the textbook. It was called in the placebo effect, right? Placebo effect. The intention was good of that in the placebo effect, but you know, I didn't like that, you know, question, because I was amazed at the work of, you know, Father God's power, and I was, you know, preaching the gospel, but you know, because of that, my classmates didn't believe,
But back then, as I read the textbook, the people of the world would not believe in the work of God because of this kind of, you know, experiments in the world. That's what I thought. Then I started to pray, Father, worldly people deceived people so that they would not believe in the work of Father God using this kind of theory and experiments. But I hope that, you know, they will realize the work of God cannot be understood by man's knowledge. But Father God will surely work. Please let me know. Let me have faith. I prayed like that when I was a student. I'm not sure how many times I prayed. But as I prayed, I got three questions. And by asking those three questions, I realized that the work of Father God cannot be done by man's ability. The first was, those who cannot think cannot have this placebo effect. People can't just believe, then you feel like you are healed, but you are not actually healed. That's what worldly people say. Right? Like people who are unconscious, people who cannot think well, they cannot think about this placebo effect and they got healed. Right? There was an infant, you know, who got, you know, stomach upset, and he got, you know, he would cry, but after receiving prayer, the pain was gone. Now, the infant would not say, you know, I believe that I would be healed after receiving this prayer. You know, the infant cannot have that kind of faith, right? It was only done by the power of God after receiving the prayer, right? We have seen them well, though. Those who are unconscious, they cannot think well, but after receiving prayer, they came back to life. We got so many evidences in this church. How could they think, you know, if I receive this in the prayer, I can be healed? They cannot think normally, right? The second question was, what about the complete works of healing? What I'm saying is, people of the world say, you know, people just believe that, you know, they could be healed. And, you know, things got better. And they think that they got healed, but they are not actually healed. But can there such a thought make their broken and ruptured bone become normal? It takes a while to have that broken bone, broken ribs, broken spine got become normal, right? It takes months for the broken, you know, spine. However, after receiving prayer, the pain was gone right away. And they start to move right away. And there was no after effect. So those such healing works cannot be affected by people's thought. The third question is winds, rainbow, dragonflies. How can it be done? How can it be placebo effect? We are all witnesses. In the Philippines crusade, typhoons were approaching the Philippines. And at the press conference, our shepherd said, when he was questioned that the two typhoons are approaching, he said, one will change its course or disappear. They will disappear or they will change their course. Just as said, one changed its course, but the other disappeared. The crusade was successfully conducted. How can it be done by placebo effect? People who do not know about it may say something like that. It is a placebo effect, but it is not such effect. It is the work of God. We can say it for sure. In Brain Church, there was a work of God. In 2006, on Lunar New Year's Day, you remember the baby who was thrown into a hot oil? I was with the baby. And his face was completely burned. And I asked his mother, and I was told what happened. And his mother was preparing some food, and the baby fell into the burning oil inside the fry pan, and then he got burned. But after receiving senior pastor's prayer, I was assured that he couldn't speak. He was infant. He was just about turning into one. And he was crying because of the heat, right? He was about to lose eyesight on one of his eyes. But after receiving senior pastor's prayer for the sick, and he started to sleep. He turned into just one. Could it be a placebo effect? No way. Children do not lie, right? So after, there was a quick in the works of healing, right? So through this kind of healing works, I could believe that Father God surely is working. In the four Gospels, evil people spoke against the Holy Spirit, blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Mark 3:22 says, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. What if you and I were there? Who would you listen to? Who would you believe? Would you have been able to distinguish truth from wrong? Jesus did only the good things. He gave hope to the poor and helped heal the sick. He gave hope of heaven. He told them the gospel of heaven. He told them to live by the word of God. By manifesting the power of God, he proved that his word is true. But those evil people didn't see it, didn't believe it. So, Jesus said, even those Pharisees and scribes said, you have not also been led astray, have you? Those who committed such sins were not layman people. They were scribes, Pharisees. They memorized the law of God, but they didn't practice the law of God. So, their spiritual eyes were darkened, and they couldn't even recognize Jesus, who is the Word itself. And they finally spoke and stood against the Holy Spirit. They even killed Jesus, which is sin leading to death. As I told you later, what if you and I have been there? Someone was doubting. Someone said, Jesus is crazy. The other person says, Jesus is good. He's a man of God. It is their argument. Now, who would you believe? Who would you listen to? How would you distinguish? Of course, you would believe Jesus, right? Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20 says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor a fig from the thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now let's take a look at their bad fruits. Evil people bore evil fruits. They didn't keep the word of God. But Jesus bore good fruits. He taught the spiritual world. He made people have hope. So many people were healed by Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus. Especially, there were countless power that our Jesus performed and manifested. Born blind, came to see. He fed 5,000 with 5 bread and 2 fish. He revived the dead Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. He did something a man never could do. If he is followed with the power the Father God guarantees, where can you find a better fruit? That's why people of goodness knew that Jesus was good. I believe that you also could distinguish good and wrong from their fruits. Our shepherd was the true. Our shepherd was the true. Before he met God, he kept his promise. After he was healed, he believed that Father God is alive and he has never doubted it. When he was a layman member, he missed to live by the word of God. He prayed countless years and he fasted many times. You heard the testimonies of those, you know, neighbors who lived, you know, near our shepherd. He wrote down and prayed until he cast off all those things that he found in the Bible. After he was called as a pastor, as a servant of God, and after he started his church, after Sunday, he went to prayer house, and he prayed for all week long, and he came down on Friday. Now, you could listen to the testimony of those who followed our shepherd. When our shepherd entered the room, he never came out. He stayed inside the room and kept on praying to Father God, kneeling down, until he got answer from Father God. Although he loves his family so much, he gave his family to the hands of Father God. He shed too much blood and he died on 1992. But he asked the Lord to save him because he couldn't let go of his members, and he's keeping his ministry now. And our Father God gave his power to our shepherd, and he has been manifesting such power. Brothers and sisters, can an evil man do good things for a few decades? Evil man can never do good. Of course, he may pretend. However, his true identity can be revealed soon. Even though he tries to deceive, somehow his true identity will be revealed. The truth of our shepherd was proven by the power of God, and we prove him. Someone said, when he was asked for his healing testimony, he said, "I myself is the testimony. I go to church, I change thanks to prayer. I am the fruit of my shepherd." He said so. Good tree bears good fruit. The disruption of the works of any servant of God who is guaranteed by God, and the actions that hinder or disrupt the man of God who performs the powerful works of God being done is the same. If people stand against God, the Father God loves, then even they say they love God, would Father God say they truly love God? It is standing against God. Exodus 16 verse 8 says, Moses said, "This will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord." So Israelites grumbled against Moses. They actually grumbled against God. who was with Moses. Why is that? Because they grumbled against the servant the Father God through himself gave the power to. It is grumbling against God. What about Samuel? Israelites asked God to give them king. Then Father God said, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. So the Bible says, if you serve such a servant, then blessing will come. But if they against such a servant, the wolves come to them. We have to remember them, and we should never blaspheme, speak, and act against the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the second sin leading to death is to put the Son of God to open shame by crucifying him all over again. Hebrews 6 verse 4 to 6 says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. They are a prodigal son. They can receive salvation after they repent. But the words in this Hebrews 6, chapter 6, 4 to 6 doesn't apply to such prodigal son. Well, as we lead a whole spirit-filled life in faith, when people go back to the world after tasting the truth, experiencing the power of God, then they cannot receive salvation. Because they are put the Lord on, crucify them again and put him to open shame. And they cannot receive the spirit of repentance. Sin leading to death, lastly, is when you deliberately commit sin after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. This is especially about those who know the truth and confess their faith, but intentionally practice lawlessness that is forbidden by God. 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22 says, for if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. Those who willfully commit sin, they will receive even severe punishment in hell. That's why the Bible says like this. Well, when I say there is no forgiveness for sins leading to death, some might ask, the Lord taught us to forgive 70 times 7. So it seems the Lord is a fearful person who does not forgive sinners repeatedly. Well, the Lord says, forgive 70 times 7. He meant we had to learn, we had to have endless mercy and compassion towards those who commit sins toward us. But it does not mean that it can apply to the sins leading to death. Not a single verse in the Bible says one who has committed grave sins leading to death and depriving of salvation, but does not repent can be saved. Forgiveness and salvation and God's mercy and compassion are grace that is given only to those who completely turn from sin and who struggle against sins to the point of shedding blood to turn from sin. Our shepherd taught us only the goodness and righteousness. As we listened, we committed sin. We befriend the world from time to time. Not all of you, but some of you did. But our shepherd prayed to Father God desperately. The Bible says we should not make a request for those who committed sin leading to death. But our shepherd knew the heart of Father God. He knew that we cannot receive salvation by normal means. But just as Moses intercedes for those sinners, he knew that Father God doesn't want every one of us to be destroyed in hell. So, by risking his life, he prayed for us. And Father God gave him the way. And our shepherd had to take care of the justice. I'm not saying our shepherd forgives our sins. By paying the price of retribution that we have to receive, we were given a chance to receive the grace of receiving forgiveness by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our shepherd, well, people may say, I've been doing too much. Well, some may say, you know, he's done too well. He doesn't need to do that. But our shepherd said, it is okay. I'm rather be pleased to have a chance, my souls, to have another chance to receive salvation. It was 2010. On December 25th in 2010, it was the beginning of the chance of another salvation for Mami members. And from that moment on, the birthday of Jesus Christ, the Christmas, had another spiritual meaning too. Our shepherd has been taking care of the sacrifice by feeling of justice on behalf of us. Our Lord took the cross and crucified on the cross. And thanks to his sacrifice, we were forgiven. And as our shepherd, feeling of justice on behalf of us, we are receiving this grace once again. Then we got to give thanks to Father God and remember the grace, and we must surely change. Let me conclude this message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I told you about what we should do to reach eternal life. I told you that after our Lord became the first fruit of the resurrection, the Christians can also resurrect spiritually and physically. But we should not get away from this way of salvation. Until we see the Lord again, we should never get away from this way of salvation, but keep this way to reach perfect salvation. And I told you about sins, and I told you three sins leading to death, which we should never commit. Our Lord suffered such great and wretched pain on the cross to forgive our sins. But it does not mean that, you know, I pay the price for your sins, so you should live so that you can live in sins. Our Lord rather said, he is earnestly appealing to us to live in the light, do away with the dirty sins by the power of his precious blood, and to recover the lost image of Father God. And disciples of the Lord understood his heart, so they also taught like that. The church is the same. Our shepherd pointed all the sins and unrighteousness and lawlessness. No, it would be easier for him to do his ministry without pointing such sins and lawlessness. However, if he had been done like that, there would have been only chaff in this church left. Not all the members would receive salvation. It's like blind man leads another blind man, and Father God would not be pleased, and there had been no power of God. But our Lord didn't do so. Even though he was persecuted, he was unfairly treated, but he said, truth is truth, and untruth is untruth. Even though it is the work of God that worldly people can understand, only when Father God is pleased, He proclaimed it. There were people who grumbled and who complained, but He didn't stop pointing their sins. However, our shepherd did not reject them. He rather dealt with them in goodness, and He still does the same. When people come in repeated repentance, He gave intercessory prayer with tears. He rather gave them, aid so that they could manage their life. He has given countless aids to people. And He even gives the gift of, implantation and, gift certificate to those, students who memorized the Bible verse as well. I was a student back then, and I received gift certificate by memorizing the Psalms. And through this love, we felt love of Father God and the Lord. And we are riding on this flow of Holy Spirit. Now, are you going to choose the Christian life as you please? Or are you going to choose the way to life even though it is difficult? I believe you will choose the second. And that's the best choice. If we truly know and believe in this love of the Lord, it's obvious that we live a holy life, having nothing to do with sins. If you love the Lord only and long for a better dwelling place in heaven, it will not be difficult to live by the Word of God and by the truth. You will be filled with joy and happiness. We'll be protected in the space of the shepherd, and we will experience various power of God in the spiritual realm. I hope that our believers, our members, get united with the Lord, live by the Word of God, and dwell in the light. You should adorn yourself as a beautiful bride of the Lord and welcome the Lord. Some days later in New Jerusalem, looking back on our life in this land, you should be able to smile and be satisfied by confessing, "I have made the best choice at the time." Let's think of the message and pray together.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.